Also, gambling, I'm against gambling, for it's against the royal commandment. And that is to honor the Lord and to honor your neighbor as yourself. Gambling is not neighborly. It is never do unto your neighbor as you would have him do unto you. It is to destroy the other that you may take all.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and welcome again to our program. We trust that that clip will lead you to stay with us today as we bring the Word of the Lord from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church. We begin with our Bible reading from Matthew chapter 12. We begin at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh throughout dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And there we end our reading today from Matthew chapter 12. Now this is the age of signs, not advertising signs, but signs and wonders to feed people's religion. People would rather believe in some crazy phenomenon than in the Word of God. In the news, you may have heard of people who gathered around a tree that gave the appearance of a cross. Some claim to see apparitions, and people flock to the tree. Why will people not flock to the Bible? Especially when the Bible already records some of the greatest miracles the world has ever seen, like the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. The Lord Jesus said, There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What greater miracle than this? The Lord foretelling of his own death and resurrection, and it all came to pass exactly as he said, 3 days and nights and all. Jesus said, The people believed Jonah. And a greater than Jonah is here. And a greater than Solomon is here. Yet people will not believe. This is the height of unbelief out of a rebellious and wicked heart. Now back to the issue of showing such people who are filled with unbelief signs and wonders. They are but temporary. The Lord illustrated this in the devil who was cast out of a man's body, but returned again with seven other spirits, so that the last state of that man is worse than the first. This is the kind of thing that happens when people fall for signs without real conversion through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. They end up worse in the end than they were before. Their temporary reformation or interest in religion only hardens their hearts. Yes, Beware of spurious conversions where people are impressed with the ridiculous things of signs and wonders. They get religion for a while, but soon fall back into the world and into such cynical unbelief that they are worse off and greater sinners than before. I praise God today that my gospel is not based on present-day signs and wonders. It is based on the timeless truth of the Word of God and of the real Jesus who lived, died, and rose again from the dead. Those miracles in the person and work of the Son of God are fully sufficient for me. I hope they are for you too. The gospel is based on the sure and certain things of the Word of God, and upon this you are called to believe the gospel. This is your solid foundation. Don't go asking for signs. Look to the Word of God, which is God's final answer to man. And may the Lord bless you through His Word today and encourage your heart. Let's unite together in prayer. Father, we thank Thee today that we don't need ongoing signs, because the Word of God is already fulfilled. Our Lord Jesus has lived, died, risen again, ascended to be with Thee in glory, just as He said. And we rejoice today that faith is founded not upon ongoing evidences and miracles, but upon the Word of God that is written and the truth that is timeless. I do pray today that by Thy Spirit Thou wilt write Thy Word upon every heart. And I pray that You will give men faith to look unto Jesus and to trust in the precious Word of the Lord. Bless Thy people today, encourage Thy people today, draw nigh to Thy people today, and give grace unto us. And now may the blessing of the Lord be upon us. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon us, as we seek to live for Thee this day and shine for the Lord Jesus. This we plead and pray in that most precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're on the air again to bring you the message of the gospel, and I hope that you have been encouraged and helped in the devotional of today as we've been reading here in these messages in Matthew's gospel. And today we're continuing in Paul, the life of Paul, as he goes into the city of Athens. His soul is greatly grieved by what he sees, by the blatant immorality and idolatry that is all around him. And that leads me to think of the awful things that grieve us in our city. And I'm dealing with gambling and the evils that are around us today, and things that I'm afraid many of even God's people are starting to get used to. And a generation is growing up thinking this is quite normal. Well, we ought never to get used to the things that grieve God. And I trust today that you'll be spoken to through His Word.
When you drive down I-5 and you're going to Seattle, you're in the Everett area, there is a massive, massive parking lot with a castle-like building, and there's a Home Depot nearby, and it totally dwarfs Home Depot. I can't imagine how many parking spots there are for that casino. And if that is anything like the local casinos that I observe here, the parking lots are usually filled, even on weekdays. It just boggles my mind. Where do the people come from? Where do people get the time? And where do people get the money? And it's all a business for the rich to get richer and the poor end up becoming poorer. Back in Proverbs 22 and verse 16, we read these words: "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall come to want." So any politician or any businessman that enters into the casino business, and it is a business, this is not pure entertainment. This is the big dollar factor of municipal life today. Municipalities believe that they can earn large tax dollars to pay off their various schemes in their municipality by casinos. Also, we have hospitals that are being, to a fair degree, funded by lottery schemes. And they're being advertised all the time. We're being bombarded with a lottery ticket as a purchase to support the hospital, as much as to win the various prizes. And so these are great schemes, but it's oppressing the poor to increase riches. Now, I preached on this some time ago, and I looked up the notes and the sermon I had on that, and I want to give you tonight my seven reasons why I am against gambling. Now, those who have a very good memory will remember these 7 points, right? If you remember all 7 points, you'll certainly be credited with a very good memory. So I'll give you these points. I am against gambling because it is against the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." And of course, this is the whole tendency of get rich quick. This is not honest money. This is the desire to be rich. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller, "How much money does it take to satisfy a man?" His answer was, "Just a little bit more. A little bit more." And if you get into his lifestyle, it's just another million or two more. You're never satisfied. Also, gambling. I'm against gambling, for it's against the royal commandment. And that is to honor the Lord and to honor your neighbor as yourself. Gambling is not neighborly. It is never do unto your neighbor as you would have him do unto you. It is to destroy the other, that you may take all. Thirdly, I'm against gambling, for it's against Christian contentment. The Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain, and better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And the gambler is probably the most discontent man, woman, or young person of all. I say young person because I looked up some of the problems of present-day gambling, and there are children as young as 10 years of age becoming hooked on gambling. Teenagers at school that become dysfunctional in their schoolwork and their career. They've got a taste of winning money, not necessarily in the casino, but some form of gambling. And thereby, they are opting out of the normal pursuits of life. And this is becoming a great problem. It's against a life of usefulness. It's a prodigal life. I'm against gambling, for it's against a life of faith. How can you be trusting the Lord when you're buying the lottery ticket or going to the casino to buy the chips to hopefully win on the bets? Whereas some people trust in the one-armed bandit and all the money that they can put into that. But the Christian trusts the Lord with his finances. And as you put your tithe into the offering basket in God's work, you do believe by faith that God will honor as you honor him. Number six, I'm against gambling, for it's against a life of grace, of trusting a good God. The gambler takes the attitude, I'm out for myself, because no one else is. But a life of grace believes in a good God who orders our footsteps and who blesses us beyond even what we deserve. And lastly, I'm against gambling, for it's against saving men's souls. Gambling and evangelism don't go together. They're opposites. Money becomes a man's God, and his ego only destroys his soul. Riches make themselves wings. And as Paul went around the city of Athens and saw these various false gods, he was stirred. I, as a Christian, am stirred at the gambling casinos in our city today. It's going to ruin untold numbers of people and change our society to that which is lusting after money and destroying people's souls. Another thing that should stir up a Christian, as we look around our city and see the trends that are developing, the second thing that would stir up the believer's heart is the proliferation of heathen temples. We see one massive building after another. These are edifices for the worship of false deities. Now we have buildings that were once built for the preaching of the gospel, and they have become apostate, and where the Bible is no longer honored, and that certainly grieves us. That is a great grief to the Christian, and especially if you're family was in the community long enough that their father or grandfather had a part in building that church and seeing it established, and then a new generation rises up to preach another gospel. That's grievous. But there's something even further in Vancouver today, and even here in Surrey, and that is non-Christian religions abounding, building their elaborate temples to honor their gods, their heathen gods. The zeal that is behind it is admirable. The desire they have to pursue their religion is something that we would have to say puts us to shame, perhaps. The expense, the architecture, we put many Protestant buildings way down the ladder. But it is zeal without knowledge, nevertheless. And it's an attempt to honor deities and gods that are not true. Another trend we have in this country are donations to various institutions to promote false religions. Harvard has just received its second largest donation ever to establish a new department for Muslim Christian studies, supported by a donor from Kuwait. I believe the figure was $27 billion. And the students, those who enroll or those who take an interest in it, or all students perhaps, will have some exposure to the influence of Islamic Muslim studies at Harvard University that was built by Christians. And here in UBC, on a smaller scale, $4 million was donated to commence a department of Buddhist studies just a month ago. And at BCIT, there was a decision made to introduce Asian cultural studies to help businessmen in business studies how to deal with Asian business techniques. Now, that's less direct, it's more indirect, and perhaps it is in relation to the new trends and the growing trade relation there is between this country and Asia. But nevertheless, we see these influences coming upon this land, and the Christian value is being set aside. Now, if you look at verse 18 in Acts 17, you'll find that when Paul, being stirred in his heart, and he began to speak about these things, you'll notice in verse 18 that the philosophers encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" You'll notice there was ridicule. The word babbler in the original language means seed picker. It means a nobody, a man of no learning. He's only picking up a few thoughts and a few ideas here and there. He knows nothing. He's a babbler. And so they despise him. And that's the trend we see in many institutions and many organizations today. Christian values despised. That ought to stir us up. That ought to awaken us and realize it's time that God visited this nation in grace and in power. A third thing, as I look around our city, that would stir up the heart of a Christian is the godless education system, especially here in British Columbia. In this age, more and more emphasis is placed upon education. Almost all young people are expected to certainly go through kindergarten through grade 12. And a big majority of young people are expected to go on to university. The pressure is on educate, educate, educate. The pressure is on parents, the pressure is on young people, the pressure is that if you don't attain these levels of education, you won't have much of a career. And with that pressure in this province in particular, it is a godless education that is offered in this society. The BC Teachers Federation is the epitome of a brand of anti-Christianity that prevents any effort to teach the values of Christianity. That has been their goal for a number of years, and they have succeeded in banishing any effort in the classroom, any remnant of Christianity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.